Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. Welcome to another edition of the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association Blog Talk Radio. I am speaking to you live from my studio here in Washington, D.C. I am your host, Bilal Masadiq, along with my co-host,
Abdul Aziz Shaheed. Greetings and assalamu alaikum to you, Brother Bilal.
Good evening, Brother Aziz. A greetings to you also. And welcome to another edition of our show. Brother Aziz, as you know, our title tonight is Network Marketing and Business Identification. And because we have so many opportunities coming our way, and we know we have a huge opportunity coming up here next month as to where we will be going to the United Nations, and we will be meeting with the president of I don't want to pronounce it for me, Brother Aziz. Kazakhstan, am I saying that right?
Kazakhstan.
Kazakhstan, okay. Yeah, I'm looking at it here.
Kazakhstan.
That pronunciation, I got it here in front of me now. Yeah, Kazakhstan. I got Kazakhstan. And so we will be
meeting. Something like that, bro.
And we will be meeting with the president and his business minister. And, of course, they want to talk to us about joint business ventures. Along with, we have other countries. Many of them are coming out of Africa, is making the same invitation. So we have our connections, being on this radio for so many years, we're being known in many parts of the world. And Black Belt Wall Street, New Africa Business Association, we're proud of, and I'm proud of working with our directors and achieving what we are beginning to achieve. I do want to say, before I go any further, just let me give out some information. For those of you who are on internet and you wish to participate with us on the live show, our call-in number is 657-383-1372. So if you dial in 657-383-1372, you can participate on the show with us live. And, of course, I am going to be opening up the mics after some brief discussions to all of our business, all of our listeners, really. So if you have a business or if you have a business idea, we are certainly interested in hearing about your business or a good business, because sometimes a good business idea, this might be the one that takes us exactly where we would be. So we're going to open our mics up and see what and network with each other, get to know each other's. And one of the things that I do need, and I'm going to go ahead and mention this, and I'll mention it again before the show is over, is that for those of you who have wish to present yourself to the country of Kazakhstan and doing business there, whether you go to New York and be there presently with us yourself to network and speak of your own business, you could always send your information, and that information that we would need, of course, we would need your name. We would need the name of your business. We would need your website and your business telephone number. And if you would send that to the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association, and that is sent to nabassc@gmail.com. I will repeat, send all of your bio information, your bio business information, to nabassc@gmail.com, or you can call us 202-288-5660 or 202-903-7278, and we will be more than happy to answer any questions and direct your answer any questions that you may have. So with that said, again, Brother Aziz, network marketing and business identification. Because myself, I can tell you right now, I've always said, I know we had very powerful wholesale distribution coming out of China before the COVID happened. But ever since COVID, that business distribution relationship have sort of diminished itself. So having countries like Kyrgyzstan and many of the countries in Africa, we and especially in Kyrgyzstan, I've been on the website, and they have multitudes of products, especially when it comes to electronics. And of course, we will be able to talk about wholesale distributions and electronics and many, many other products as to where we'll be able to buy in bulk. And this is something that when I say we, all of our members and listeners will have that opportunity. And of course, you can see to having that opportunity, because you can join us at the United Nations as to where we will be meeting with the president of Kyrgyzstan and his business ministers and all of his business country folks. But him and his business minister is who we are looking forward to speaking to and seeing where our business relationship can take us. So, Brother Aziz, with that said, I'm going to let you come in with your normal opening comments. And after your opening comments, we will go to our mics and open up our mics for business discussions and getting to know each other. So, Brother Aziz.
Yes, Brother Bilal, thank you, and greetings to our listeners. I wanted to say that last week's programming that we did have Imam Talib Sharif come on and discuss some of the opportunities that existed in Kazakhstan and its location and it being a part of the former Soviet Union. And I, too, Brother, I went and looked at the site as well as looked at maps and that of this country. And it's a developing country, very modern. And, you know, it seems like a number of the European countries that I do see that are emerging out of the former Soviet Union and building an economic base for themselves. They have these modern cities, and it just leads me back to think about our brothers and sisters in Africa that are struggling to just get a foundation going so they can get a start. There's such a disparity there, brother, and really, it really is hurtful, and hopefully in that direction we can do something, you know. Also, however, the opportunity that exists in Kazakhstan is something that a lot of our African-American brothers and sisters should be able to realize. It's not that Kazakhstan needs us for any business whatsoever. The imam made that clear. However, they do business outside of their own country with other countries and other entities and other businesses in other countries. And in particular, they decided, that government decided that they want to do business with African Americans in particular. Either way, what we have to offer them or they have to offer us. And since they're a little more developed in certain areas, such as we know in electronics and certain technologies, that we could offer those back here in our country. So as our host, Brother Bilal, had mentioned that those opportunities are really, really unheard of. And what I mean by unheard of is when a country looks for you in particular. They're not saying they want to give us all their business, but whatever we have to offer, they want to give us a piece of pie from what they spend in their budget or when they buy things or do trade. They want to give us a piece of that pie if we are in any business that they do trade with. So that's a fantastic opportunity. So I look forward to some of our listeners who may have heard last week's show or maybe listening and want to know more about this to tune in, you know, go back to our website and look at last week's show, and you'll have information like that, as well as Brother Lyle, and I'll be discussing that. We'll be continually discussing that next show. We will have more information again on that. However, changing the topic, I wanted to talk about the second part of our show, which is disaster preparation. Looking forward to that part of our show. I wanted to say we all know that there's a hurricane going on right now in the United States, in Florida, and coming up the eastern coast, parts of the eastern coast, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina. And we don't know from there where it might go, but these are some of the areas that it's affecting now. And a lot of those people, again, were not prepared for this, even though the warning was out there. And sometimes for economic reasons, people aren't prepared, or whatever the reasons. But, you know, by knowing this ahead of time, even though nothing may happen for a long time, but to be prepared if something do happen, then, you know, that could save a lot of the problems that we're having now with people's power out. They're not able to get any food, not able to do a lot of things. It's just fortunate it's in the summertime. If it was in the wintertime, we'd have some problems. And FEMA, again, is saying that it's taking 72 hours or more to reach people because we have a big storm surge, water surge now coming into people's houses, homes, 10 feet high. That's a lot of water. That's taller than any human being, 10 feet of water. So we got a lot of things going on in the country, and we got this about the former President Trump and him trying to weasel or wiggle out of the face of the law and either prove that the crimes that he's being charged with, he didn't commit them, or like we would have to do. If you couldn't prove you were innocent, then, you know, you have to be charged and faced with the penalty for that. And we hear this stuff about nobody's above the law, so we'll see about that. How does that affect our business? Well, again, this is what our programming is about. As Brother Bilal mentioned at the beginning of the program, our business identification and network marketing, and also disaster preparation. But in network marketing, that's something that any people that are listening to our show would really, really benefit from network marketing, because network marketing is so broad, and it gives you the opportunity to grow really globally, not just right in your specific area, and not just, you know, certain parts of the country, but you can actually grow globally with networking marketing. So that's what we're doing, providing the service here for African Americans, as well as our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world, to do network marketing, to market, network with us by becoming members, not just listening to the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association, not listening to us, but becoming a member of our association. We need members of the association as well as listeners to participate so we can keep this airtime on all the time and continue to give opportunities to business people as well as those that are seeking to go into business, giving them opportunity to network, as well as offer our listeners and members opportunity to have professionals advise them in some of their business concerns. We have attorneys, we have CPA, we have financial planners. We have all this to offer just based on your membership. So opportunities that we offer here for our listeners, that is not opportunity that you would normally find in other marketing or networking businesses such as us. And we do this solely to see our communities grow, communities that are dying right now in the business sector, not as a people, but in the business sector, wherein if we're not in business, we don't really own anything. We don't own any. One of the most important things in our community that we should want to own, and that is the bank. Banks, credit unions, things like that. That's because we all make money where we live. If we invest in a bank that would benefit us and our community, our money goes a lot further, as well as, you know, spending our money in the business that is in our community. So in our list, any of our people that are listening to that, that are thinking about going into business, or you have a business that you would like to, you know, let it get out there and the name of your business be spread over a big, broad network, and maybe perhaps you have people calling in that are concerned about your business and want to give you more information and could use your business. So these are the type of things that we offer on it continuously. As Brother Bilal has said, we've been doing this 8 years and going on and going to continue to go on. This is some work that needs to be done, and there's a lot of value to what we say and what we have to offer. And we're going to keep continually looking at that as that this is a value that we have until we just don't have any more African-American businesses to offer to our people. So those of you that are listening in that, we would like you to go to our new improved website as well as, again, become a member of the New Africa Black Belt Business, Black Belt Wall Street Business Association. So, Brother Bilal, that's kind of like what I'd like to start out with tonight.
Well, Brother Aziz,
and I thank you for letting me.
Go right ahead. I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
No, I was just saying, I was just thank you for letting me open up on that. And you know, later on we'll have more to say, but I hope our audience was listening to that.
Yes, well, Brother Aziz, we definitely thank you for your comments. You are a co-host of the show, so again, your comments is mandatory as far as I am concerned. It's not a question of me letting you. You're doing what you have to do and I have to do to promote this show. But let me just say, when it comes to the value and why a country like Pakistan or any other country would be inviting Americans and have an interest in Americans, they don't have an interest in us just because we are Americans or we're soul brothers or we're African Americans. They have an interest in us because we bring this country, the United States. This year, when it comes to our consumer spending, and before I give you the projections for this year, let me give you facts of last year. Last year, our consumer spending came to $1.4 trillion. Consumer spending, going in and out of somebody's place of business and spending our monies, $1.4 trillion. This year, it is projected that African Americans' consumer spending will be $1.9 trillion. Brothers and sisters, that's $1 trillion all day long. So, Pakistan don't even have that kind of money coming into their annual revenues. No country in Africa have that kind of monies in none of their revenues. African Americans, when it comes to our dollar power and the power of our black dollar, if we was an independent nation, we would be rated around the fifth or the sixth richest nation in the world because of the large amount of monies that we spend as consumers. And then, of course, that doesn't account the taxation of revenues that we give this country, along with our church donations that we also put into the banks of this country. So the United States enjoys a huge wealth because of African Americans and the power of the dollars, and those dollars goes directly into their communities. So again, certainly if I was Pakistan or if I was any other nation and I saw a people that had the talents that you can get from the African American communities, I would be interested in doing business with you also. For instance, brothers and sisters, I was just here contemplating on some of the things we could present to the president, and one of them is just our entertainment. Do you realize when it comes to our young folks, and they have come up with their new sound of music, it's called rapping, that is something that is being played and heard all over the world. All the young folks in this, all over the country, as Mark and I, African-American young folks. When it comes to sports, look at the amount of monies and the talents that we have in the areas of just the sports arenas. So African-Americans bring on a great big asset, and that asset is worth trillions. The only thing is that we can't keep those monies in our communities because, like you said, we don't have our own financial institutions. We're forced into being consumers, and that's a conversation for another day, but we are definitely forced into being consumers. And so if we can be able to keep our values and the monies that we can make here in the United States, then that's what we're looking for. Because, again, when it comes to wholesale outlets, African-Americans, if we try being the wholesalers in this country, who is going to be a wholesalers to us? They're always going to make us retailers because we're the ones that they look forward to making money. There's so much I could get into when you start talking about a capitalist society and haves and have-nots. And we're forced to be those have-nots, but at the same time, when it comes to a large revenue, boy, again, like I said, we made this country the most wealthiest country in the entire world. We did it from slavery, and we're still doing it. So, brothers and sisters, know, when it comes to our business and what we can offer, like I said, the evidence is already there because, again, of the huge amount of monies that we bring in to this racist society that's here in the United States that suppresses us from being keeping our huge amount of monies. So that's something that if we have doors of opportunities where we can now become large business owners, if we can take our talents in many parts of the world where one would is willing to pay for all the talents, and this is what these countries see in America. And so, again, no, brothers and sisters, I've always said I wouldn't be on this radio, and many of you know I am a licensed financial planner. When it comes to saying let's invest into something valuable, I would be glad to tell you that the African American and what and the huge revenues that they that they can make, then I would tell you yes. That is a community that should be invested into, and I'm not the only one. Look at all of those who come to this country. They come directly to the African Americans. We have made so many, not only those who practice racism, but the foreigners that have come into this country, how we've made all of them pretty wealthy because we spend our monies with them. So again, we're going to, we are a people of great value. We just need to retain our values. So with that said, I am going to start opening up my mics, but before I do, I want to bring on one or two of our other directors. Sister Saisha, are you with us?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for introducing me. Yes. I have to agree with everything that has been said so far. You know, the power of the Black American dollar is significant, and other countries are seeing this, and they're seeing it at an abundant rate. And they want us. They want our infrastructure. They want our innovation. They want our ingenuity. They want our business skill. They want that. Because they see that with our history and how we have not only overcome our history, but succeeded beyond our history, there isn't any other nation in the world who have gotten to the point that we have. And so other nations are seeing that, and they're like, let us connect with them. Let us connect with the Black Americans and see if they could bring in that genius into our country and help us develop their country. So if you don't get anything else out of this show, listeners, understand the power that you have as a Black business owner, position as a Black American with the way that you shop and the way that you do business and the way that you promote yourself and just who you are. And that is the purpose of the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Show. That is the purpose of what we're doing right here, and the message that we're sending is the dynamic power that we bring to this country, and that other countries want us to share our abilities with as well. So my name is Farza Ali, and I'm just honored to be here as much as I can, and to help to bring in the information and the skill of international business to all the listeners. So I'm going to give it back to Brother Bilal.
Thank you very much.
She
will be with us. All of our directors will be with us throughout the show, so you'll be able to ask questions, and they will be able to make statements. Now I want to go to our other director, Sister Ali, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Good evening, everyone. Good evening to the other directors, mm-hmm. Brother Bynum, Brother Aviz, and Sajda. Yes, I am here.
Yes, and of course, to our natural disaster that Brother Aziz were speaking of just a moment ago, she's our expert, and of course, no one knows FEMA better than this particular sister. So she will be back in but in the meantime, she also is a very, very good business lady. So we have, like Brother Razzie said, we have our experts working with us. And these experts, that's why they are directors in many different states. So welcome aboard. I want to go to one of the other directors out of Oklahoma. Sister Williams, are you with us?
Yes, sir. Good evening, all. We're here holding it down in the great state of Oklahoma. And I would just like to say that the show that you guys had on last week in regards to Kakakistan, that is really going to be a wonderful opportunity for those of us who can take advantage of it. So, sisters and brothers, hopefully you'll be able to sit down and get your business information and put it together so that you'll be able or ready to submit your information on September 5th, so that if you can't personally make it to the UN building, you'll know that your businesses will be well represented by the New African Business Black Wall Street Business Association. So I had invited some of our people from our chicken room, the Gambia project. I think a couple of the brothers may be on the internet participation line, as well as some of my other people may also be here to get information about how to go about submitting the information for September 5th. So thank you for allowing us this opportunity to be on your show, and we wish you continued success. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Out of Oklahoma, I just want to, and with that said, for those of you who may have came on a little late, in order, if you can't come to New York with us at the United Nations to meet with the president, of Kakistan, then I would ask you to send your business information to the New Africa Black Belt Wall Street email, and that email is nabassc@gmail.com. Again, nabassc at gmail.com. And the information that I need when you send your business information or your business idea, I need your name. I need the name of your business. I need your website and your telephone number. Send that along with your business bio, and that information, if you can't come, will be given to the president. Well, first it will be given to Imam Talib Sharif, and then he will see to it that that information goes directly to the president of Kyrgyzstan and his business minister. And so those of us who will go up there, we will speak, of course, live. But those of you who cannot make it, send your bio to, again, nabassc@gmail.com, your name of your business, your website, and your telephone number. I'm going to open these mics up. And we're going to start networking with each other and talking about, because remember, you can talk about your business. You're talking to the directors of New Africa Black Belt Wall Street. So if you, the more we hear from you as we network, the more we can speak for you. When we go up there, if you're not there to speak for yourself, not only will we have your bio, but we can see, a business so-and-so have this, and they have that. They're entertainers, shop owners, they're trying to buy dresses or whatever a type of business you may be in. And like I said, one of the things I like about doing business with this country is they're heavy in electronics. And so, and I know I look forward to being able to be able to have a wholesale distribution when it comes to electronics. Want to now open up, bring on one of our brothers from Africa. He's our business director out of Detroit, he's also bringing us business opportunities from Africa. Brother Musav, are you with us? Brother Musav, are you with us? Okay, well, hopefully he will be coming on before the show is over, and he can give us a lot of information. Again, one of our networks this week that we're also doing in Africa. But right now we're talking about going to New York and meeting with the president of Kyrgyzstan and his business minister. So with that said, brothers and sisters, like I said, the power of the black dollar and the power of your business. I am going to open these mics up as we speak right now. Let me start doing so. And I am going to invite all of you. And the mics are just about okay. Our mics are with our audience. We got a nice size audience. Our mics are open. I would ask, though, that you will keep yourself on mute until you're ready to speak, so we won't hear any background information. So again,
yes.
Hello?
Yes.
The man just put your name on the radio. He called to you.
Yeah, but I said hello. I said hello, but I don't think he had me. You know, I don't know.
Well, oh. We didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. You need to do it again, because we didn't hear you.
Well, hold on. Let me see if I can take care of that. Okay, there we go. Again, brothers and sisters, please, until you're ready to speak, put yourself on mute, and we'll be glad to hear anything that you may have to say. But let me just invite all of our listeners. I have our mics open. And I am going to say, welcome to the show, and we welcome your comments. Our mics are open. We welcome your comments.
Brother Bogart, this is Sister Isha. Can I make a comment before the audience come on? Can you hear me? Yeah, the comment is, in addition, Brother Bilal, to those items that you needed by September the 5th, the name of your business, your address, your telephone number, please add your email and your website, if you have a website address, your email and your website address, and, of course, a brief bio about your company and the services you can provide. So that's seven items: your name of your business, your address, your telephone number, your email, and your website address, and a brief bio of the services that you can provide. Okay?
And if you would send that to NAB, ASSC@gmail.com. We will be more than happy to see to it that your bio or your business information is given to the president of Kakistan.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who will not be making it there in person with us, we know that Imam Talib Sharif will be back on. He's in the Middle East as we speak, but he will be back with us on the 5th. He'll be back on the 5th of September, and at that time, he will be back ready to collect your information, and he will be on the radio with us as to where comments could be made directly to him. So again, our mics are open. This is network marketing and business identification.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have comments about your own business or comments about business period, we were glad to have your comments. Our
mm-hmm.
mics are open.
And one other thing I wanted to mention, which I did mention to Brother Bilal earlier, I did take the liberty to check out the country that we are talking about with the U.S. Export-Import Bank, which is the flagship institution of finance for import and export or international trade here in this country. And I did find that they are situated to do business with this country. They do have some, Ex-Im Bank does have some extra requirements, but when I read those requirements, I don't think it's anything that the country cannot provide. The requirements are for the country to provide additional information for security, and which is very good, and I think they can do it. So I only said that to say is that we are dealing with a country that is sanctioned by the U.S. Financial institution. And so I think that that will bring us more comfort level knowing that, because not all countries are sanctioned or our financial institutions have not necessarily agreed to work with them, and they would simply say no, no, no. But this is one that got yes, yes, yes all the way across the board. So I wanted to bring that to the attention of the audience so you would not have any hesitation as to the credibility of this country, because our government has already done due diligence on them, okay?
And Sister Aisha, while you're on the line, I was talking about the statistics of where we are being broadcast and where we're being heard from. You mind sharing those statistics with our audience?
You mean the countries that are listening to us?
Yes, ma'am.
The countries, okay. The countries that are still listening to us, and I pulled this together back in 22, November 22, and they're still on board with us. Of course, the United States, Zimbabwe, Canada, Russia, France, Tanzania, India, Kenya, Mozambique, South Africa, Ghana, Tunisia, Portugal, UK, and Ireland. And I think that's an impressive list because we know that these are people from these countries are on every Wednesday night just about. And this is establishing credibility for Black Belt Wall Street, New Africa Business Association. Credibility is very important. And when you have been reporting and when you have been on the air, as long as this group has been, that says something about your sincerity, your capability, and your credibility. Because these other countries are listening to us, and they haven't stopped listening to us. And like I said, I compiled this on November of 2022. So feel comfortable that whatever we bring to you all as our audience and for our directors, we do our research. We don't want to just bring you something half-stepping because we're all professional people in different areas and trust that we're going to have some sound research behind us before we bring it to you. So those are the – so thank you, Brother Belair, for asking me to read this list. And I'm so impressed that these people are still hanging in there with us because they want to hear what we say. So when they hear what we say, they take it back to their people, and yes, they position themselves mm-hmm. based on what we say. Thank
yes.
you.
Thank you. And audience, you can verify everything the sister says by going on our website, and that would be New Africa Black Belt Wall Street Business Association.com. And just go through our statistics and you will see all of those countries that are on our website. And they, like the sister said, we know they've been there for years. And this is we're proud of it. We're glad to have them. But again, brothers and sisters, like I said, it's the power and the interest that we as African Americans, the entire world, like I said, there's nobody in the world that doesn't do something that an African American haven't presented, especially when it comes to style, when it comes to many of the sports activities. Of course, when it comes to our rap and our young folks, I mean, they just, everything we do look like the entire world at some point starts to do it. So again, that's what I mean about having the leverage as to where we can market our talents somewhere else other than just here in the United States, who just want to take our talents, make monies, but we're the last to get paid. Brothers and sisters, that day is almost over with. During the time of we're bringing back, when we say Black Belt Wall Street, we know that was started by Booker T. Washington, and the Black Belt Wall Street is what bought on the Greenwood Business District. The reason they got the name of Black Wall Street is because our community gave the Greenwood District. When I say our communities, the Black Belt Business District. And that Black Belt Business District that was put together by Booker T. Washington, the Greenwood Business District, bought on economical relief for African Americans during the time of segregation, during the time of sharecropping, during the time really of slavery. It was the black belt that paid off all of our debts. It was the black belt that built our own financial institutions as to where we could go to our own banks and our own communities and was able to borrow monies and to pay off our debts. And when I say our debts, the biggest ones were those sharecropping debts. And now whereas you could leave because that no one was putting continuing surpluses on you as to where you could never pay your debt. You owe this, but again, there were certain other debts that we didn't mention, so you have to go back to the farm again and pay the debt that that has been increased on you. And so again, we was able, when we got our own, and that's why you need your own financial institutions. Brothers and sisters, we must have a way as to where we can deposit our monies back into our own financial institutions. We mentioned the name banks, but sometimes banks cost you a great deal of monies just to incorporate a bank. But you can certainly open up credit unions and have credit unions take you to the power as to where we will have the monies easily to open up our banks. But we must have a place as to where we can deposit our monies so our monies can circulate in our own communities the way it did during the time of segregation. And during the time of segregation, and that's the time of the Black Belt and Black Belt Wall Street, that success, we know what happened to Black Belt Wall Street. They thought they was able to kill and destroy our financial stabilities. But again, because we had started businesses all over the South, all the way from Texas throughout the entire South to Maryland, Virginia, because Maryland and Virginia and all through the South is where the highest concentration of slaves were put. And that's what the Black Belt Wall Street was able to make a our richest times in history was during the time of segregation. What stopped that powerful cash flow was in 1965. And what happened in 1965? Integration. And when we integrated into the Caucasian's neighborhood, we lost the power of our financials, of our financial flow, our cash flow. And of course, once we lost that, all of our money started going into the Caucasian's community. And today, we're 96% consumers because we don't have businesses as to where our cash flow and our economics can keep growing our countries. So that's why business is so important. Without business, your communities is nothing but a ghost town. Any community that you can be, I mean, your houses can be as pretty as they want to be, but again, if you don't have businesses flowing in your community is nothing but a ghost town. It has no real economical values whatsoever. That's why when you live in your communities and all of a sudden you hear, well, there's a big corporation that they're getting ready to build in our communities, that brings on economical growth because business is in your communities, and there your communities can have economical growth. But without that, you're nothing but a ghost town. And most of our African-American communities today are no more than ghost towns because, again, we do not have that huge cash flow that we used to have during the time of segregation. We give it up talking about the horrors of integration. So, brothers and sisters, my comments, and like I said, our mics are open. We welcome your comments. Our mics are open.
Happy birthday, Uncle Roy.
Happy birthday, so, Uncle Roy.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, babies. How's everybody?
Well, she's wishing you happy birthday early.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, thank you, thank you. Thank you, yes, it is that time. Thanks so much. Thanks so much, baby. Yes.
Uncle
Brother,
Roy said thank you so much, baby.
Yes.
Say it. Brother, say it again.
Yeah.
Then you're welcome, Uncle Roy.
You're welcome, Uncle Roy. You're welcome, Oscar Warren.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. I really appreciate it. All my nieces and nephews are joining us tonight because it is that time. It's another year for me, and I do feel mighty blessed. Thanks so much. But like I said, brothers and sisters, our mics are open. Network marketing and business identification, this is your time. It's not costing you a dime to advertise your business tonight. And let's say this. When you're network marketing with each other and doing what we're doing right now, like, for instance, I am a financial planner. I might get up here and talk about the importance of hiring me as your broker or as your agent. And present my values of what I can do for you. All of a sudden, hey, I like what I'm here. And Brother Bynum, can you can I make an appointment with you? In other words, what I am saying, brothers and sisters, by speaking this evening, me getting to know your business, you getting to know mine, we just might have a clientele. You might have a client on this telephone that's waiting to hear from you or waiting for you to present yourself. That's the opportunities I'm offering every business person. And I'm telling you, I'm offering it to you because I know the importance of advertisement. We have a big audience with us tonight. So now is a wonderful time for you to network and get to know you, and we can get to know each other, and hopefully somebody can pick up a client before this night is over. But we won't know unless you.
So.
So our mics are open, and we give you the opportunity to present yourself. Brothers and sisters, again, I said it before and I'll say it again, our mics are open and we welcome your comments. All right.
Well,
I
brother,
tell you, no, go right ahead. Go right
brother,
ahead.
Brother Bilal, while people are getting themselves together, I am I want to say a little bit more about the research that our team did this past week. On the proposal of the government of Kyrgyzstan, and I always mispronounce it. I'm going to eventually get it right. Kazakhstan.
Yeah.
Many of us we don't engage in export because it is very time consuming and it takes quite a while to learn it. But, however, there are so many agencies with the U.S. government that will assist the underserved population, the farmers, the technology people. You know, we're classified as the unserved population now. So when I use that term, I'm using their terminology. That is not my terminology. But that's the way it's written in their policies and procedures, okay? So, but there are so many services available to us. So we can stop being so dependent on the middleman to get our products and our services out there to the world. And this is something that it can take a little time, but there are so many agencies, and I just mentioned what Ex-Im Bank can do. And when I went back and looked at my notes, there's a printout concerning Kazakhstan. And they said, yes, support is available for this country, meaning if you choose to go with this country, support is available to you to assist you in exporting or doing any type of trade, even importing from this country. Not just this country, but Indonesia, China, Pakistan, and these, and I'm looking at the reports that I pulled up, Mexico, Bangladesh, Turkey. So all over the world that we, not every country, but the major economic resource countries, we can get support if we choose to export or import from those countries. And I want to encourage you to go on the internet, look at what the USDA analysis are in their reports, and find your niche, whether it's technology, whether you are a farmer, or whatever you are doing. Find your niche. Believe me, there is probably analytical report and market analysis of your industry. And this is what you all have to, we all have to know our industry extremely well. So I want to encourage you to get busy. Start looking at the possibilities of either exporting or importing. That is the way the world runs, and we've got to really become great players in the world, in the global marketplace, okay?
Okay, brothers and sisters, our mics are open. We welcome your comments.
Hey, good evening, good evening. I want to say a few comments. I'm going to have to discharge early tonight, but I would like to also kind of piggyback off of what Madame Aisha has said, you know, look into exporting and importing, and also looking to really expand the business that you have right now into international waters, if nothing else, and also to broaden the scope of your business. Local business in the United States is profitable, it's promising as such, but as things start to transition throughout the world, it is a good advice for you to be a part of the next move and the growth of how business is expanding and how these countries are really interested in Black-owned businesses. So I want to leave you with that thought tonight. Please look into that. Please listen to the advice and the suggestions that are being said by the directors on here, because we care, we understand, and we want the continued success of Black businesses. So I leave you all with that thought, and I will see you next week.
Thank you. Yes, indeed. Our mics are open, brothers and sisters. We welcome your comments.
Hello.
All right. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I think earlier you introduced me, but for some reason I was unable to hear you. This is Usman Darami from Detroit.
And let me just, Brother Usman, I'm glad I was trying to introduce you earlier, but let me just tell the audience, again, this is another a direct connection with one of the countries in Africa, and I'll let him take it from there. Brother Usman, we welcome your comments.
Yes. I'm really focusing on two ideas. And these are not new ideas, but they are something that have been, opportunities have been sitting there for a long time. and I've been really trying for me to do something with it, which is really trying to produce bread or substitute wheat flour, because we have a product which is cassava that we use for our local fufu consumption, and Nigeria is maybe the largest producer in the world, but other countries are benefiting more from it than Nigeria is benefiting from the oil that is endowed with. So this is what I have been trying to do for me to see how probably maybe we can be able to maybe introduce the African-American farming knowledge to collaborate with us for to really make that a reality. And it has the potential for it to really contribute greatly on our food security. It also has industrial applications. It is used, you know, for it to produce ethanol and you name it. I think Thailand exports more of cassava byproducts to the United States than any other country so far. And for some reason, I don't know why, it was really not included in the AGOA agreement. So I don't know why, but I've been talking to maybe like a sister from Florida, Dr. Latricia Wilson. She's an engineer. At the same time, she is also a medical doctor. And she is working with the Black Farm Association, the branch in Florida. And we've been talking for a long time. And also maybe, it is also important for you to know that probably we can be able to use the waste to extract hydrogen from the waste, cassava processing waste, for to generate electricity, clean electricity, which can complement solar energy, effectively, because, like in my country, we have two seasons, the dry season and the rainy season. During the rainy season, sometimes there will be some limitations in the access to the sun. So such a technology, using the byproduct of cassava to produce hydrogen, can really complement our green energy initiative. And there's a brother here in Michigan. Go ahead.
What was your country? Just tell me the name of the country that you were.
Sierra Leone.
Sierra Leone. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yes. And I think your brother is the. As a matter of fact, they appointed him to be the Goodwill ambassador to attract African American businesses, to Sierra Leone. And I think I saw a video where they. Issue citizenship to about 200 or so African Americans at one point. And this guy is really, he's a young man, but he's working very hard compared to the many African leaders that I've seen in Sierra Leone over the years. He's very interested in seeing that things happen between ourselves, between Africa and African Americans. And I don't know, the imam was supposed, I think the imam was supposed to, I have his number, I text him, and he linked me with his wife, but we have never forgot to communicate. I think brother Byron was supposed to maybe link us up, because he said he was going to call me when he's with the ambassador, so that we can be able to connect. But, but these are the type of things that I think, just imagine how many billions of dollars really these African countries dispense in a year for the importation of wheat flour. I think if we can be able for all to really sit down and put together some type of package, we can make this kind of thing a reality. Where there are limitations, probably maybe we can get something from Kazakhstan. You see, so these are the type of triangular type of relationship that we need to really explore and expand on. And as far as the sister is concerned about the agencies that are available to assist in executing this type of programs, I did discuss that with Dr. Mr. Brother Biden as well. I told him I spoke with Kit Moore. He is really the director of the Minority Business Administration in Washington, D.C. And they can be able for them to provide you the platform, the guidance, and protection for you to be able to do business anywhere. But what you need to do, first of all, you need to become a client of their institution. And to become a client, your business have to have minority business certification. So, but I think it's about time that we really come down to the nitty-gritty for the tire to hit the road, for to come up with some type of concrete proposals. You see, I know that, you know, I know what is available and not available in African American community. You know, I can say I probably did all my adulthood in this country. So I worked in every area from the assembly line to you know what. So, and one thing I also, we should caution ourselves is that I think this is one thing that really turned people off about the United States is the overselling of the United States. And we don't want to fall within that track. I think when we go to these places, we try for all to be humble and all that stuff, but, you know, those type of things to other cultures, it looks like maybe you are boasting or something. But, you know, that being said, it is an opportunity. And one thing that I have in hand is that some African ladies, they have an organization in Sierra Leone. It's a rural organization. They gather honey, wild honey right now, and they introduced me to about maybe a container full of that honey that they are trying for them to look for connections for them to be able to trade that one. But anyway, so this is what I have to say, and I still look forward to maybe sending my own proposal, but for us to really sit down and put something concrete together. You know, if we're going to do it as a group, which I know sometimes it may be a little bit difficult, but, but I think that's what I have so far.
Yes. Well, Brother, let me just say this. I would suggest the idea that you have with the flower thing and it sounds good to me. I mean, we have to have food, but your idea, I don't have that proposal written in any kind of a business proposal. I don't have a business proposal from you, and I suggest that, again, you send that business proposal, and it's not so much for me, but in order to get your ideas out to, in this case, the president of the country of Kazakhstan, we need, again, the information that Sister Aisha just talked about. We need that information sent to our email. And then we can have your business proposal presented to the president, along with anyone else who has a business or a business proposal that they like to present. And as far as the certification in Washington, D.C., I sent in a certification, but I didn't use a D.C. address. So I had to redo the certification because Black Belt Wall Street's address is in Maryland. So I had to redo an application because we do have a D.C. address, and I had to redo the application to show a D.C. address. So we our certification is being put in as we speak. I looked into that certification, and yes, there could be some pretty large grants from many of the ideas that we as African Americans have. That's why I'm asking that you send in your business bios to the New Africa Business Association. Send that again to NABASSC@gmail.com, and we will be able to present that information to not only the president of Kakistan, but any other country that shows interest in doing a business with our communities. And also the D.C. government, and I know Sister Aisha has some very good information. I think there was a, when it comes to a black belt and money's being allocated to the black belt objective, there are monies out there in many different states to stimulate just what we're doing. And as a matter of fact, we're at that time where I am going to again ask our audience for their participation if they have any networking or anything they like to say about their business or what have you. I am opening the mics up again and asking for your comments. That's what I will do right now. We welcome your comments if you have any statements that you would like to make about your business or any statements you like to, anything you like to say. Our mics are open to you. Okay, and then with that said, I am going to now turn it over to our director of natural disasters, and she can tell you more about some of the things she know about stimulating the activities of Black Belt Wall Street, and also preparing and how you should prepare for the disasters that are going on all around us. Sister Aisha.
Once again, thank you very much to all of the directors. And we have a full house as far as disasters taking place in the United States and around the world. And unfortunately, once again, we have to emphasize how important it is for us to be prepared for these disasters. So what we are having now in the U.S. especially, and like I said, throughout the world, we know that we have El Dahlia in the southern part of the country, and we have other storms as well that are affecting our lifestyle. And the largest, the U.S. is experiencing some of the hottest weather in history. And there, I saw a news article today where it said, heat, the silent killer. So we recognize that extreme heat is the deadliest natural hazard in the United States. Let me repeat. Extreme heat is the deadliest natural hazard in the USA, according to climatecentral.org. Children and adults over 65 are the most vulnerable to heat-related illnesses. We know that the heat season is from May through October. That's when we experience the greatest heat, and we are in that heat season now, which is extremely dangerous. And of course, we know that the heat waves are caused by global warming. And we have to be very careful when we venture out just for a walk, less long, to do activities in the park or to play ball in the park outside. We have to be extremely careful now because some of our I'm getting a lot of noise.
Okay,
can someone please mute their phone? So be careful when you venture outside for long walks, mountain climbing, and other forms of recreation. Heat kills more people than hurricanes, floods, tornadoes, and other events that we normally think of as catastrophic. Now, and the reason so, when we have heat, extreme heat, the heat lingers. It lingers for a day, a week, or months. It lingers. It doesn't go away. Whereas if we have a hurricane or a flood, maybe after a couple of days, things gonna start receding and going away. So that's what makes heat so dangerous, because it lingers. It hangs around. And that's what we have to be very careful about. So according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, over 1,700 people in the U.S. died from heat-related issues in 2022. Now, those were the ones that died. The hospitals and the emergency agencies reported astronomical numbers of people who are in the hospitals and people who had to be rescued or taken to the hospital because of heat-related issues. So although we are not, it's not hitting us all of a sudden, it does affect our body. And we are often impacted by heat exhaustion because of dehydration and also an increase in food and waterborne bacteria. In addition to the burns that people are receiving when they just simply fall down, whether they fall down in grass or on a paved surface, they're experiencing extreme burns from the heat. So when we look at how heat affects our bodies, and you all can interrupt me at any time because we want to have a discussion about this and see how we can prevent some of the effects of heat on ourselves, especially, it is especially an issue within low-income communities and people who work outside. So those are the jobs of primarily low-income people. And in the communities where low-income people live, because oftentimes there is no central air. There might be a fan, or there might be a window fan, or there might be some kind of cooling. But that is where the most hazards occur in the U.S. It's in low-income communities. So we understand that there are a number of states and cities that are opening up cooling centers. And these cooling centers can be gyms or they can be recreation centers where the city has cooled them down and invite the people to come in. It is that serious. So, of course, we are thankful for those cooling centers because the homeless people have no other place to go to cool off. And so many cities are opening these centers. We also know that the airlines are having issues with some of the planes in flight because their instruments are affected by the heat. They are also being, the planes are being affected by heat clouds. So this is not a small issue, but it's one that is so overshadowed by the impact of the hurricanes and the tornadoes. Now, we know those are real, and we're not downplaying those whatsoever, but we must be very concerned about the impact of heat. So let me just mention some areas, how heat affects our bodies. And this is from a Union of Concerned Scientists put out this information on how heat affects our bodies. Our head is affected by heat. And you all, probably many of you, have felt this: headache, dizziness, irritability, loss of coordination, anxiety, seizures. This is some of the ways that heat affect our heads. It also affects our liver, causing liver injury. And I never thought about that. I was amazed when I saw it. It also, this is how heat affects our bodies. Heat also affects our kidneys. Kidney disease and kidney failures are caused by heat, excessive heat. It also affects our mouth. Of course, many of us are victims of dry mouth and intense thirst. It affects our heart by increasing our heartbeat, rapid heartbeat, or irregular heartbeat, or heart attack. It affects our lungs, increased breathing rate, worsened allergies and asthma, pulmonary disease, COPD. There's a tremendous increase in COPD during the hot seasons. It also affects our arms and legs by heat cramps, muscle spasms, and weaknesses. And, of course, our skin, we are very thankful for the skin because it flushes. Our skin can become very clammy during this heat, and we experience heat rashes. So these are just some of the more apparent effects that extreme heat has on our body. And we must at all times be very conscious, wear a hat or stay inside, put something on your body, put a shirt or something, cover up your skin when you go outside because you're subject to being burned, heat burn. And if you have some protection from the sun, you probably will not experience all of these effects from the heat. But people who have to work outside, people who are homeless, many families are still sending their small children outside during the extreme heat. So we want you to rethink how you are surviving and how we are adapting to climate change, because heat is the silent killer. It creeps up on us and we not even know what's happening to us, especially if you become delirious. So I implore you, let's get some feedback from people who have experienced how the heat has affected them.
Brothers and sisters, our mics are open. We welcome your comments. Sister Aisha?
Yes.
Very interesting conversation, and I like to just say, I am a war veteran. I'm from Vietnam. And in Vietnam, the temperature is anywhere from 105 to 115 degrees, and that's just about every day. And, I mean, it's hot all the time. Only time you're going to get some cooling is when there's one of those monsoons come through. But it's hot. And but I can only say when it comes to heat, and like I said, Vietnam, you're in a war. So during those extreme times of the heat boiling down on you, you have artillery shells going off. You have automatic fire going off. You have all kinds of hail going off all around you. And I've seen so many times, I'm visualizing it as we speak, guys that are 19, 20 years old, healthy, I've seen them fall out, no wounds whatsoever, ain't nothing touched them. They had heat strokes, and those heat strokes were so severe until if you could make it to a med station, they had great big tubs filled up with ice just to throw the body over the air, trying to save this person's life because he's having a heat stroke. And, of course, I've never had a stroke, but I've seen those who have. And strokes takes away all kinds of operational parts of your body. And so when you start, what your subject now is for is heat and the severity of heat. And that silent killer, I've seen it happen so many times. And like I said, this is from young males, not old folks, young males. And they do nothing but just fall out right there in front of you. And some of them recover. Others don't. Now, and hearing what you were saying, so I know the severity of heat. I know what he can do to you, and you're saying it right. Cover the skin. Don't go out there with these short sleeves and exposing your skin to that sun because you're not doing anything to, and especially those who have a problem sweating. You said a perfect thing when you were talking about the body being able to release. And that's what those sweat glands. And but for those who may not have their sweat glands don't open up, or they can't sweat, that means that the heat that you are receiving is all retained inside of you. It's not coming out. But those of us who can, and I'm glad. Loads of sweat can come off of me. And I mean hair and everywhere, I'm sweating. And I know that that probably had a lot to do with saving my life. But when it comes to heat, and you know, you talked about being in the cities and going to the places that you can go for air conditioning. I just, last week, I went home to my home in Delaware, and I was raised in the rural area. And there was a reunion. I don't live in the rural area when I go there anymore. I live in Dover now, but I was raised in the rural area. And when I went home last week, they had a reunion that I went to, back in the rural area. No air conditioning. I don't even think there was a fan. Mm. And I started sweating. And I haven't sweat like that, I'm saying, for years. So when you start, and then so the folks in the rural area, the poor folks out there, I guess, I don't know if I'm asking you a question or what, but, you know, how do they sustain? And especially for those, like I said, that may have a problem where they can't sweat very well and find that the body gives you. What do you comments on that?
Yes, but you know, I can't speak for the individuals. I can only say that we recognize that there are certain populations that are more prone and that's at a higher risk, and I mentioned those earlier. But there is a new concept out now, and it's called the high risk for people living in concrete-dominated cities. People living in those areas, and that's 80% of the United States. People are occupied by people living in dominated cities, lots of concrete, you know. Very little tree coverage, very low. The trees have been cut down, and so they're totally exposed now. If there's no greenery in your area and people in the country, they will find the shaded tree.
Yeah.
And that's where they go. They're going to sit under the shade, and they're going to drink ice water.
But
they have the kind of neighborhood where they can do that. But if you're living in a concrete-dominated city, you're surrounded by concrete. And there was another study that I read in reference to the urban heat islands. It says that the urban heat island consists of these cities that are dominated by concrete. If you live in those cities, and 80% of the U.S. population live in cities, this is a blueprint for disaster, heat-related disaster. Cities like New York, Chicago, Houston, and L.A., and Atlanta, and other major cities. And a large percentage of our people, the African-American people and the people who have less income, are living in these cities.
Yes.
And they are trapped.
Yeah.
And the people, they can't go inside necessarily because they don't have enough ventilation. They don't have enough cooling. So they come outside. When you come outside and you're surrounded by concrete, that makes you feel hotter because the heat just bounces right off the concrete, and that comes back to wherever you are sitting. So you don't get any relief when you go outside, and you don't get any relief when you go inside. So what do?
My goodness.
But these are called urban heat islands.
Yeah.
And I was not even aware that since just in the month of July, many of the major cities reported 51% increase in heat-related hospitalization cases. Now, once again, the resources are going to be capped. The power grid is going to be strained. And as people turn up their air conditioning system, so all of these are going to have negative impact on our lives. So, Brother Blair, I don't know if I truly answered your question.
No. You've helped out. You've helped. Everything you've said has given me some sort of confirmation on some of my curiosities. No. You've done a wonderful job. As a matter of fact, your conversation just leads me to other things that I think is extremely important. And especially when you started talking about and you narrate this heat thing to some of the things that you were saying, but it's much bigger than that. I mean, sisters.
It's bigger.
How many countries are on fire? because of drought, because of heat and the drought. I mean, this thing is burning all over the earth. Look at, I mean, not only in our next door neighbors, Canada, but many other European countries. And I'm saying, and I think Turkey's got one that is, they're not even trying to contain the thing, and it's already burnt. They said the size of some state they mentioned.
Yep.
These fires
are there are fires all over. And so can you imagine how the atmosphere is being recharged with more and more heat? Fires cause heat.
Yeah.
Earth that has already been fired, when you have a wildfire and you have this baked earth, heat is concentrated right under the top layer, the epicenter of the earth, the crust. The heat is concentrated right under there. So we constantly have this hot heat in our environment. So, yes, the urban heat islands are a serious issue for people who are living in these concrete-dominated cities.
You know,
and we know that a
our Imam W.D. Muhammad, we pray that Almighty God bless him. But, you know, he's told us all to start moving out of these cities, and he was talking about just what you're elaborating on now, of course, and more, but he was telling us all the same, to get out of these cities.
African-Americans
need to go back home. How much do we have to stress that? That's where your real values are. It's back home in those in the fields that you left. That's where your richness is. It's all right there. You may not know how to produce all those that well, but that's why you have associations now like our African Americans are smart peoples. All we got to do is come together and use that talent in our own communities now. But we got to get out. I mean, because what you're saying, if you don't get out, you're going to destroy yourself.
You're going to die. Yeah, destruction is, I guess death is destruction, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, so when we start talking about we have a disaster program, brothers and sisters, this is not a show or a conversation just to be talking. We have a sister here who can inform us, and we can elaborate from what she's informing us, and we just might save our own lives. We have to be prepared. You have to be prepared for a disaster 24/7. And what do I mean by that, sister? I mean you have to have provisions as to where you can survive until some kind of relief can come and help you.
Absolutely. And, you know, Brother Bilal and Brother Aziz, we're going to start back the training program in disaster preparedness. We are working with various populations of people. People have to hear it so many times before they get a clue. And we are constantly putting it out there, but we're going to get started back, and we are announce hopefully very soon the model that we're going to use to be able to impact thousands and hundreds of thousands of people across the United States. So we haven't forgot, and we are constantly working on it. But we talk about disaster preparedness, how you must become prepared. When you hear that alarm, that first alarm, you need to head out your door to evacuate. But then we know that there are going to be people who cannot evacuate. They're on ventilators. They have no transportation. They are elderly. They are living by themselves. They cannot evacuate. And the federal agencies are saying you have to be able to maintain on your own for 72 hours. Now, that came from the Katrina Hurricane Katrina. Now, that was realistic during that time. It is not realistic now. They said that it takes the federal agency 72 hours to get to you. So you have to be on your own. We're saying now that the data is coming out that it takes the federal agencies a week to 10 days to get to you because they're so bombarded with so many disasters. You cannot, the 72-hour rule is obsolete. So if you're going to have to fend for yourself for 10 days,
yeah,
how are you going to do it? How is your family going to survive? Where are you going to go? These are the things we talk about in the training. And I understand sometimes we are so bombarded with issues, financial issues, what climate change issues, that we don't, and financial issues, we just don't want to hear anymore. And that's what people have to do, take their head out of the sand and listen and do something about it. And frankly, to me, I see that more people are beginning to come to me and say, okay, well, you know, we need to know more and more. But we just have to keep talking the same thing over and over again until people get a clue. They'll get a clue when it hurts them. They'll get a clue when they see that their families are in jeopardy, at risk, because they did not take the time to become prepared. And so we understand that it's very hard to get people to change, but people did change during the civil rights era, and it took a lot of saying the same thing over and over again to get people to get a clue. But we got a clue. And I grew up in the western part of North Carolina, and it was up in the mountains. And so we always sought refuge from a tree, sitting under a shaded tree, drinking ice water. We had plenty of shaded trees in the mountains. The heat did not affect us much, although it was very hot. But we knew how to stay cool because we didn't go indoors when it was hot because we might have had a fan, but after a while it just blows hot heat. We would sleep outside or we would stay outside until late at night, but we had plenty of shade to keep us cool, you know. So as you say, Brother Blair, people are going to have to get back to doing those things that they know will protect them. And our young people are going to have to learn those things because they have no clue whatsoever.
Yeah.
They would run, if our young people, as they said in Lahana, many of the young people were running directly to the fire because they could not conceptualize how to go in the opposite direction. So they would see the fire, and many of them would run in that direction, not understanding that if the fire is coming towards the east from the southeast, that you don't run to the southeast, or you don't even run to the south.
Right.
But they couldn't conceptualize that because they could not understand the directions. They don't teach directions in school anymore. So they had no idea which direction to go. They couldn't, if they didn't smell or see the smoke initially, they would run directly in the direction that it was coming, that the fire was coming from, and then they would be engulfed with the smoke. So our young people are in bad shape in the sense that the schools have not taught them basic survival. And they don't know how. They don't know how to be, to go 72 hours, less long, 10 days, without having their luxuries and their conveniences. So I see them, I talk to them, and they get upset because they don't want to hear it anymore. They get upset because they don't know.
Yeah, well, brothers and sisters, our mics are open. Anyone who has any comments or like to make a comment, our mics are open to you. Got about 10 more minutes. We welcome your comments.
You know, you mentioned, Brother Bilal, that people have heat strokes. Well, you know, that's your brain. That's in your head. And that's really, that's serious. And the heat in the head is that one area of the body that heat affects the most, that you have so many consequences in your head than any other part of your body. So wouldn't it make sense that when you go outside, you're going to cover your head in the sun, from the sun?
Not unless you had that nappy hair like I did. And,
okay. Well, that was a blessing. That was a blessing to have thick, woolly hair to cover your head.
It'll keep you alive.
Mm-hmm.
No,
it did. It kept up. Oh, absolutely.
My nappy hair. I know
yeah,
it did. And right now
absolutely.
In the sun, put a hat on, but I can take my hat off and I can go much longer than the average person in the sun because those naps up there is protecting me, and it's protecting my brain because, like you said, once the brain go, that's it.
Yep.
Brother, once
yep.
the brain goes down on you, you ain't nothing else happening with the body. You don't know nothing. You're just in the grave. And that can
yep.
happen. Like I said, I saw guys fall out, and nothing was wrong. Nobody got shot. No artillery's blew them up. They just fell from the heat. And I'm going to be honest with you. I ain't going to get into races and stuff like that, but I saw a lot of it. But those folks with that thin hair, that straight hair, they caught hell.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, absolutely.
Yeah.
How do you, and I think if you don't ever let your hair be natural, let it be natural during the summertime, especially the people who have naturally thick hair. Let it go natural to protect your head.
Yeah.
You know, but these are the reality. There are at least 7 to 10 consequences that heat has for the head, and which is more than any other part of your body. So we have to start helping our young people to understand that they have to survive. And you can't survive, and you can't think about your survival if you're constantly thinking about how you look. You're going to have some different kinds of values. And we see it all the time. One last point that I wanted to make about heat is that we are coming into what scientists call what is really a full moon. They call it the super moon, meaning it's at its closest point to the Earth. And some of you all know this already, right?
I'm going out there.
The super
moon
is
moon
also
too.
Called the full moon,
yeah.
meaning it's closer to the point of the Earth. The full moon can enhance the tides. So
yeah.
at the time of high tide during the storm, you're going to see greater coastal flooding.
Yes.
Let me repeat that. the full moon or the super moon, as some call it, which simply means that when the moon is full, it's at its closest point to the earth. The full moon can enhance tides. So at the time of high tide during a storm, you're going to see greater coastal flooding. And that is beginning to take place as we speak.
Yes. Sister, can
so
I ask
we
you,
have all of these. Yes, go ahead.
Why did they call it a blue moon?
Well, I hadn't seen blue moon. I saw super moon. I don't know. I cannot imagine. Now, I guess it would have to be the same thing, right?
I ain't going to let you talk me to death. You, blue moon goes way back.
Oh, blue moon?
I mean, they even had songs about blue moon.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so I'm asking, now, that was the time. Blue moon was used quite regularly back in the day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Blue
yeah.
moon, huh?
Yeah, I can see you was a bit more sheltered than I was.
Right, I think so. Maybe. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Well, I did hear about blue moon.
Blue moon, so yeah, like you were saying, they call it the, but it was also the blue moon.
Yeah.
And, but of course, we know it's nothing but names that they give the moon. There's nothing, none of it is relevant.
Right, right.
Yeah.
No, I tried to search blue moon just now, and really nothing came up. Maybe I have to search it another way. But
yeah,
it was
on the front page of the Post today.
Really, when NASA calls
yeah.
it. NASA at the Goddard Space Flight Center, they call it the supermoon.
Oh, yeah, we got it. It goes to show they don't have no brothers out there working. They need some black scientists out there. They're blue moon.
They're calling. Now, is that moon really blue?
No, ain't
have
no.
Have you
all no.
It's
the same thing you're talking about, Sister Aisha.
Okay.
About the moon being the closest to the earth at this point.
Yeah. Because we call it the full moon.
Yeah, okay.
You know?
But all
the same moon. And it does affect the tides.
Everything you said about that is very true. Very true.
Mm-hmm.
Can increase flooding.
Yes. Very true. So we're right at that point where we're going to be closing out. So any comments that I start with you, Sister Aisha, Brother Aziz, and first we'll ask the audience again, any comments from our audience, the few that are still with us? Okay, in that case, Sister Aisha?
Well, we want to thank all of our audience, all the people who participated with us tonight. And we want you to constantly tune in to Blog Talk Radio and hear the information that we work very hard, all of us, throughout the week to bring to you. And next week, hopefully, I will be sending over to Brother Bilal to post on the website and to get an email out to everyone letting you know about protecting houses or worship, what the Department of Homeland Security is encouraging us to do to protect houses of worship. I did sit in on a very lengthy webinar day before yesterday and on this topic, sponsored by DHS. And some very interesting information. In addition, they have started a new round of grants. So Brother Bilal is going to post that out to everyone, so we might talk about it next week or whenever you want to. Thank you. We'll be right back.
Thank you.